animal friend, you're not sure if it's time, you can call Kim, get a quick feel for that, or me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, I'm not always available right away, but so if you need it, you know, in minutes, that may not happen, but, you know, if I can usually try to get back to you the same day.
Yeah. All righty. Let's close out this hour. We'll do that as quickly as we can, and we'll get right back to our subject, end-of-life issues with our animal friends. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Mother's Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Well, today is part one of our two-part Memorial Day programming this year, and Kim Miller, medium, animal intuitive, is here. We are not doing phone calls and readings today. We are addressing end-of-life issues with our animal friends, and it seems that what you all have been requesting from me is more of the stories and how we have personally gone through and addressed these issues and what we've learned in these processes, and we hope that will help you as well. And I don't know about you, Kim, but I was fortunate to have chosen a mom that loved animals, and so animals have been a part of my life my whole entire life. Have you always had animals in your life?
Yeah, I had a dad that was an absolute animal lover. Now, my mom was too, but not, she was really silent about it. Mm-hmm. So my mom, you know, she fed them and they loved to sit with her and, you know, but she was really quiet about it. My dad was over the top and was a huge animal lover. And so, yeah, I think I had my first dog when I was like, I think 5.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? My parents were the opposite because my mom was the absolute into animals. Mm-hmm. And my dad was the quiet one about it and often acted like he didn't care and didn't like them and all of that. And it wasn't until end of life issues, I actually, the first time I saw him shed a tear when we lost an animal, I mean, that was an awakening for me. I didn't realize he loved the animals until then.
I knew my mom did. She was really funny about it because she would even sneak in and give I'd catch her giving my hamsters lettuce and stuff. She'd be sniffing it through the cage, you know, because she didn't want anything to go hungry. So you know she was fattening everybody up. And so if they'd sort of looked like they were hungry, then she was feeding them. She did that with everybody. But my dad was over the top. I had everything. I had. A horse. One time he brought home a possum that had a whole bunch of babies for my sister. And my dad was a hunter, but he was still a huge animal lover. And he brought this possum home and she had like a litter of 8. And my sister would have scratches up and down her arms. And I guess they stunk the house up because they're really smelly. And finally, my mom was like, you got to get them out of here. We can't have these. So he had to take them and put them back out. But
yeah, I think growing up, I grew up in the city of Seattle. And I had everything you could have, you could get away with in the city. Mm-hmm. But, you know, dogs and cats, of course, and house rabbits. And I had mice and rats and chameleons and turtles and ground squirrels and and then of course everybody that was rescued. I had a seagull on my deck. My mom and I rescued a bat. I had a little Stellar Jay that my cat caught that I raised. So all kinds of animals. I have to say though, in preparation for the show, I've spent a lot of time kind of sitting in my heart and remembering, all the years and all my beloved animal friends, and I picked out. It was pretty easy. I have lived with so many animal friends, which means, you know, that's, and part of living with animals is recognizing that they don't have the length of lifespan that we do.
I know. Isn't it unfortunate?
I'm getting,
sad.
Of course, the exception to that. Because remember, there are no absolutes. There's exceptions to everyone. And that would be, I think, the like parrot and bird family.
Oh, yeah.
Because they outlive their human. And that, by the way, is something you do need to be aware of if you want to live with those birds, you know, with the big parrot type birds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Scotty, help me remember. Let's remember to ask Betsy on the next shelter rescue show from Mollywood. Give us a really good idea of the normal lifespans for all of these birds, because that's something, if they're part of your life, you need to think about if they're going to outlive you or not, and you need to make arrangements for someone to care for them.
Yeah.
Or they all end up at Betsy's place, and she's got, 400 birds up there. She's got more than she, we need to be more responsible. So keep that in mind if you're a bird person. But at any rate, most of them, I mean, they simply don't have the length of life that we do.
Right.
And of course, now I certainly believe that death is a part of life. And I certainly that I have become much more comfortable with that process since I have found a spiritual path, over the last 25 years. And I do believe that we kind of, as Americans and lack of another way to say, and our culture, I believe that we have forgotten what it used to be like eons ago, in that I believe that at one point we realized that death was not a bad thing.
Right.
That we knew that we were spirit first, physical body second. And it's only the physical body that dies. The soul is eternal. Mm-hmm. And death was considered a graduation. Mm-hmm. So I understand from my spiritual intuition and the communication that I received from the other side that at that point and wherever we were on planet Earth, it was a celebration, death mm-hmm. was, because the soul was moving on to the next level, and that was a really a good thing.
Right.
So I have to say, it would be nice to be able to say, well, gee, I've totally gotten to that point, and so I can celebrate the passing of my animal friends as totally wonderful.
Yeah, but, you know, grief is such a human emotion, and that we, you know, you have to, and we are sort of selfish creatures.
Exactly.
You know, it really is all about us. And
yeah,
so, I think it's so hard.
I know that it has made a difference for me at this stage in my life, knowing that it is only the physical body that dies, that the soul's eternal. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many of my animal friends come back to me for another lifetime.
Right.
And I communicate with them after they're on the other side, and sometimes with Kim's help and sometimes not. I find that I need the help of my friends that communicate when I'm in a big emotional crisis with my animals, because I don't feel clear enough.
Yeah.
To trust what I'm getting. So I'll call Kim or Robin,
yeah.
You know, and get some help there. Mm-hmm. But I certainly have gotten to that point of understanding that death is not a bad thing. But I do feel, and one of the reasons I think we're doing this today is to acknowledge the fact that we are human.
Mm-hmm.
And humans, we are here to feel
yep.
and experience life through our feelings. Mm-hmm. And you can't shut that down. And what I've also realized, though, is that I not only love the soul of the animal that may be departing, but sometimes I'm really attached to that specific physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes you have to grief that loss as well.
Because you never, I mean, and then you try to find, a lot of times what happens with people, I think, Martha, is that they get so attached that then they go out and they want to replace that. And so they look for that same physical look of mm-hmm. whatever they had before, and they replace it, and then there's no, or they replace it too soon, and there's no attachment. It's like, well, you're not like so-and-so, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's this, well, I don't like you because you're not the same, and they don't love them for their individuality. So I think that's a mistake I've made in the past mm-hmm. where I went looking for the same look of a dog that I had before mm-hmm. and they just weren't the same,
yeah.
you know? And then you're like, well, you're not what I was looking for. And they're not. None of them are going to be the same. They're going to be very different. So I kind of think that sometimes it's better for you to go totally different so you don't have that same expectation, you know, that you're not going to be the same. It's like trying to go out and replace a human being. Well, you look just like this person, and you're going to be that. No, you're not.
Oh, and by the way, if you know someone that loses a beloved animal friend, what you do not want to say is, oh, honey, it's just an animal. Go get another one. Slap you in the face right now.
Yeah, that's not.
That,
yeah.
No.
No, it's not.
Now, one of my biggest concerns are when I encounter folks that lose a beloved animal friend, and then they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so painful, I'm never getting another one.
Oh, and my mom did that.
Yeah.
My mom did that. And, you know, once she did lose, she had a little dog that she just adored.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I think he was like half poodle, half God knows what, maybe a little border collie or something. And I used to call him Nasty Nick. And yeah, he was just the meanest little booger ever, you know, and I would go see my mom and dad, and he didn't like anybody to fight. So if he heard anybody yelling, like on a TV or something, he'd get really mad and he'd bare his teeth at the TV if anybody was arguing. And my parents didn't get him until he was like 10. And I know. And he lived until he was about 17. So they had him for quite a while, but, he was so funny. If anybody would try to come near my mom, even to give her a hug, sometimes.
So she shut down when he
died. Yeah,
lost.
She totally shut down when he died. She didn't want another one. Yeah.
And I have to say, the good news for me has been that whenever I have had a friend, you know, someone I've known that's gone, mm-hmm. that's had that reaction, eventually they get through it.
Oh, yeah.
And they get another animal. But I suppose there are those that don't. But it is important to understand that we never give ourselves, on a higher level, we never give ourselves on this level more than we can handle.
No, and that's
true. So you need to know you can get through it, and that's what we're going to talk today. But kind of the bottom line is there aren't a lot of rights and wrongs here.
No.
You know, like I said, well, are you obligated to mortgage your house to spend everything you can to keep your animal friend alive?
No.
No. Mm-mm. Now, if you choose to do that, if it's a free will choice zone, you can choose to do that. Mm-hmm. But whenever there is something major involved in health-wise for my animal friends, I don't make the decision myself. Yeah. I communicate with my animals, and they help me make the decision. Mm-hmm. You all remember when Scooty was diagnosed with those biliary cyst adenomas. That's my Abyssinian that had the liver cysts. He elected not to have the surgery, and I honored that. Mm-hmm. And so it is okay not always to do everything to keep them alive.
You know, I think I made that decision with Shasta because Shasta was, Shasta just turned 12.
And she's still with you.
Oh, yeah, she's doing, you would never know this dog was 12 years old. But almost a year and a half ago, I looked at her one day and I thought, you're going to die. And I thought, I gotta get you to the hospital. And I took her into the vet, and she was
so intuitively
up.
You felt she was going to die?
I just looked at her, just the look on her face.
Oh, okay.
In her eyes, in the way she was acting, she had started throwing up, and I just thought, if I don't get you somewhere now, I'm going to lose you today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I, you know, got her to the vet, and that's when we went through that whole thing, and we actually ended up taking to her the hospital and made the decision to spend the money just because I felt that it was going to work. But, you know, and we did it, and she went through a huge surgery, and they took a lump off of her, and she's done incredibly well and has bounced back, and I have a 12-year-old dog that acts like she's 5. So
yeah, and it's wonderful.
You know, yeah,
no,
it's wonderful,
I went through that, like with Scooty, when I got from him that he wasn't concerned about having the surgery. Mm-hmm. He was concerned as to whether or not he could recover.
Right.
And he didn't want to do it unless we could assure him that he would recover and we'd have lots of good time left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I got from him. But just be sure, I call up Kim, and the first thing she says to me, well, he may not recover.
Yeah.
So, you know, then that was you know, all I needed for that confirmation.
Well, I have a, you know, I'm not as big of a kitty person as you are, but I've always had a cat in my life. And they've always sort of been like a secondary player for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I've always had a cat. And I have one now. I've had him. He's 16 years old. And I actually just took him to the vet because I thought for sure he had a cataract. And then I just thought his eyes, I was starting to get kind of cloudy and gray. And I thought, well, I think he just has a cataract. And one day, we have a friend that comes over and lets our dogs out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me a picture of him, and his eye was totally swollen shut.
Ooh.
And so I did take him to the vet, and the vet goes, I'm just not sure, you know, what it is. So he wants to take him to an eye specialist, and I'm really debating because I don't think Noah can go through that. I just don't think he can. He's to the
Aside
point where
from
he just,
the fact that it will cost you an arm and a leg to walk in the door.
Yeah. So I at this point I'm debating. I just don't know that, and it isn't that I don't. I love him. I mean, he's been the greatest cat ever, but he just doesn't act like that's what he wants.
So I guess the bottom line here for me, folks, is that I think every single situation is individual.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make the right choices for you and for your animal friends. And sometimes you need help making that. And it's okay. Even I need help.
Yeah.
Kim needs help.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Robin needs help.
Yeah.
We all sometimes need help with making these decisions for our own animals. And there isn't a right or a wrong. Sometimes it's better if you have to help them go, to do it at home. because the animal's more comfortable there. On the other, which is what I did with Scooty, because he hated to travel and it made him sick, and I didn't want to drive him to the vet for his last experience. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Annie Golden loved to ride in my car and loved, and so it was perfectly fine to take her. Yeah. But I didn't just do it myself. Scotty came with me.
Yeah.
And so there's whether you help them go or don't, and what you do afterwards, whether you bury them or cremate them or whatever you do, there isn't a right or a wrong. And and should you get another animal right away? Well, in some cases, yes. In some cases, no. You need to go through your grieving. You have to feel for yourself. I learned early in my life that for me it was easier to say goodbye to one animal friend, like my one dog, if I had a younger one already
ready
going.
I did that,
and then you can kind of shift from one to the other sort of thing, and I'll have more of those details when I start get into my personal stories, but for the first time I didn't have that luxury with Annie Golden.
You just had to do it.
Well, because she was my only dog left, and because of everything that's been changing in my life, and I hadn't been back to the city and taken care of my dad and all this kind of stuff, I didn't get any more young ones. And so I am, for the first time in my whole entire lifetime, without a dog.
Right.
My. Well, you know, that in and of itself, not having another dog, has made this adjustment more difficult for me.
Well, you missed your opportunity.
Oh, well, that's true. I did have one hand to put in my hand at Thanksgiving, a year ago Thanksgiving, when I arrived in Monroe.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't even want to know who it was. I don't even want to go there. Because I know now I made the right decision for me.
Right then.
And
yes,
for my animals then, and for what was going on. Mm-hmm. It would have been wonderful to connect, because I know it was somebody coming back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, somebody doesn't stick a puppy in your arms and you're gushing in tears just instantly for no reason.
I know.
Okay. But at any rate, and it would have been, as it ended up, being Annie's last year with me. Right. Annie didn't like other dogs.
No,
Annie wasn't a dog. And it would have been tough for Annie. Now, I think she would have risen to the occasion and helped me raise this puppy with enough communication and stuff. But it still would have been. Anyway, I just, I'm comfortable with the way I handled it. And at any rate, that's... not having a young one made a difference. Made a difference, and does make a difference.
I did that with, actually got Shasta. Shasta was only 12 weeks old, and the dog that I had at the time, he was 13, and he had gone deaf, and he was starting to go blind, and he was just the absolute, he was my first dog as an adult, and his name was Jesse. I called him Bub. But he was just the most adorable dog. I can tell you a billion people who loved him. And he was the kind of dog that he wasn't, you know, you get dogs that are absolutely your dogs, you know what I mean? And he wasn't like that. He loved everybody. He just loved everybody. I mean, he loved me and everything, but he would, if you spent 5 minutes with him, he loved you too. And he, you know, he just loved everybody. And so when he started to kind of get sick, I had that opportunity. I had this puppy handed to me at a pet store, and it was Shasta. And I really almost didn't take her because, number one, I didn't want a female, and she didn't look like Jess. And I thought, well, I don't know. And I, for some reason, something told me, you got to take her. And here I, you know, 12 years later. So she made it the transition for me a little bit easier, because the year I lost Jess, I also lost my mom. So it was, you know, it was, and he died on my dad's birthday. So, you know, I think it just, like you, it's a little bit easier transition to make if I have another dog. But
yeah, but again, there isn't a right or a wrong.
No.
And every situation is individual, and it's okay to ask for help. And we, you know, we'll be around and be able to help you make these choices, but it can be different for everybody depending on the situation that you're in. And for example, another reason that I didn't get that didn't bring that puppy home with Annie. One of the reasons I always got a younger dog when I had an older dog is because dogs grow up on monkey see, monkey do.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if you have an already raised and trained model, they can a lot of their good behavior will rub off on the puppy, and the puppy can learn
but
from
Annie
the older
had a
dog.
Lot of bad behavior.
But Annie was a flaming, out of whack Ola Pleckner dog.
Yeah.
The only reason she was alive was because she was with me.
Yeah.
There was a reason why I only had one dog.
Right.
Because it was very difficult to have her around. Ask our friend Krista. Who,
oh, yeah.
Krista got bit by Annie on the finger.
Oh, no.
And at the farm one day when she went after Krista's dog over an apple.
Uh-oh.
You know, so at any rate, I didn't. There's a lot of stuff about Annie I wouldn't have wanted the puppy to learn. So
there were
lots of reasons.
Well, that's why I wouldn't have another big dog with Shasta, because Shasta loves a little dog. You can bring any little dog in, and she's great. But a big dog, she's like Annie.
Okay. Now, the other thing I'm going to tell you before I get into specific stories here is that I think this is an issue for a lot of people, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a person that lives with lots of animals and you have them throughout the course of your lifetime, some will mean more to you than others.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I call the special ones, call them heart dogs or heart cats. You do it the same thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And they're the ones that, now let's see. What is this? Look at Sky.
I know.
What are you eating? I
both had to go get a snack.
Is that what you did?
Yes.
I saw you pulling those dollar bills out of
you.
They all ran out of here at the break, and they went to the vending machine.
Yes, we did.
Potato skins, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, busted.
Not as good as those pumpkin cookies, though.
Oh, God. I gave him some of my favorite cookies yesterday, and now he's hooked. Let's face it, Scotty, you have four cats.
Yep.
Gigi is your oldest girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's what, 112?
Yep, 12
years old. Bosco is your boy. He's about nine.
Nine.
And then you have the girls, Weiner and Blackie. They're about three.
They're going to be four August 22nd.
And then you got Jasper, who comes for handouts at the back door.
Yep.
But honest engine here. Oops, we should probably. I didn't mean to offend you, but that just came out of my childhood somewhere. Anyway, honestly, one of those cats means more to you than the rest of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And that would be
Bosco.
Bosco, the boy. Because he and Winona Bosco came just for Scotty. And Bosco is his guy.
Mm.
He's the one that's always in his lap. He sleeps with him between his legs all night long. He wakes him up in the morning and all of that. And Bosco is just Scotty's guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is your heart cat. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love the rest of them.
Oh, he's
special. And I think maybe even little Weiner is a little special because she was the runt of the litter, and she talks a lot, and she's got a great personality. But nonetheless, just know you will have heart animals, and then some of them won't mean as much to you.
That's true.
But that's all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, there isn't right or wrong there.
No, Jess was definitely my heart dog. But I have one, I have a lot of dogs, you know that.
Right.
But one is.
Yeah, the rumors were like 12, but
we've
learned that that's not really the case.
She
doesn't
12.
Have 12.
I don't have 12, but, JJ is my little heart dog.
JJ's the
JJ's
heart dog.
JJ's my heart dog. Yeah. I mean, Maggie too, but he is definitely my heart dog. And for Julie, it's Tucker. It's the one that was born in our living room, so.
Like, for example, I'll tell you folks, Annie Golden was not a heart dog for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, and I'll tell you, now this is a dog, I have such a strong connection with this dog's soul. We have been together twice that I know of in this lifetime. She's coming back again. She already told Kim that last two lifetimes, crappy bodies, they didn't work.
Yeah.
Third time, she's coming back in a healthy body. So, but she's been with me twice that I know of in this lifetime and then previous lifetimes. And I'm aware I've done past life regression. I wasn't intending to go back and find my animal friends. I ran into her in a past life when I was doing a past life regression related to something else. So I have a very, very intense bond with this dog. And I knew who she was when I rescued her. But she still didn't become a heart dog because that was me protecting Martha. Because I rescued her because she was the most screwed up little, 12-week-old golden retriever puppy I'd ever met. She was the most vicious and frightened golden retriever puppy on the planet. I didn't know if I could save her. I didn't, and because her physical body was so messed up, I didn't know how long she was going to live. So I intentionally didn't let myself bond on that level.
Yeah.
For a very long time, and when I did bond, it wasn't in the way I have with heart animals in the past. So just know that, you know.
It's tough. I mean, I had the same thing with Shasta, just because she was, I got her in Jesse's, the end of his life, and it took me, I'm going to guess, it took me about 4 years to really, because Shasta was so goofy when I first got her, and she was so not, because I wanted a dog with so much like him, she was just the opposite. You know, as much as he loved everybody, she hated everybody. Mm-hmm. So, wow. You know, it was totally a different experience. And it wasn't, I think, until I was with Jewel that she's really, I mean, now is a big part of my life. And she's my heart big dog, you know, now, but not then.
All right. Well, so those are some of the generalities that, that we can make at this point. Now what I want to do is, okay, I started to tell you, I spent a lot of time this week just kind of sitting and remembering and going back through all of my animal friends, because I have lost so, and I had to say goodbye to so many animal friends in my lifetime. But I was able to pinpoint the ones. Now, of all the animals I have, what I jotted down, and maybe another one will pop in here or something as we go through it, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 experiences in my life, end-of-life issues with animal friends, that have profoundly affected what I believe and how I behave now, and the things, the most important lessons that I've learned that I want to share with you today. So I'm going to go through those, and Kim's going to pop in with hers as we go. And the other thing I want Kim to do, she doesn't know this because I didn't talk to her about this part, but she'll do pretty much what I ask her to do. Or otherwise, I'll tell you she's eating.
I can't.
What the heck are you eating?
None of your business.
Okay. What I want, when I tell these stories, I would like you to tune in to the soul of these animals.
Sure.
And because some of them. Well, and we'll just see if they understand what's going on with them. All right. Now, the first experience that I remember, well, the first, when I was born, my parents had a dog named Bounce, who was a Cocker Spaniel. Bounce had distemper when he was a young puppy, and he was a vicious little Cocker Spaniel. And honest, I didn't like Bounce. So I don't remember, whenever he went, I probably said bye, you know. Anyway, I wanted my own dog more than you can imagine, and I always wanted, you'll love this, Kim, my favorite breed as a young child, and the dog I had to have, poodle. Okay?
And now she's so poodle snotty.
No, I like poodles. Mm-hmm. I just don't care to live with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Besides, you cover the poodle base for all of us.
Yes, I do.
How many poodles do you have?
I have 5.
See? Yeah. It's not 12, but...
No, but they, you know...
And Shasta's not a poodle, so you know there's more than...
She thinks she is. She was very upset because I shaved her the other day.
Uh-oh.
And she was incredibly upset because I actually shaved her ears, which I don't normally do, but I kind of oopsed with the clippers.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And so I had to shave her ears, so she really looks like a lab now. Where
Uh-oh.
She's uh-huh. She looks like a flat-coated retriever normally.
Yeah, yeah.
But I normally kind of shave her down, and I leave her ears fluffy and her tail fluffy. And I had to shave her ears. She was very upset because she didn't have poodle ears.
Has she forgiven you? Did you apologize?
I don't know. I just try not to mention the ear situation.
So if you run into Kim and Shasta, do not mention her ears.
Please don't say anything about her ears.
Okay. I'll have to try to remember to keep my mouth shut when we leave here. Anyway. I sort of lost my train of thought. The poodle. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to tell you my first story. Okay, so my grandmother got me my first dog, and his name was Scamp, and he was a black poodle, standard. He was a mix between standard and miniature poodle. So he had the standard body and the miniature legs. So, you know, he wasn't a show candidate. But,
I guess.
But he was a great dog. He was my first dog, and he was incredible. Now, I grew up in the city of Seattle, And we lived in Laurelhurst, and way back then, in the dark ages, there weren't leash laws, so he got to run around.
Oh, yeah,
all that
I had
stuff.
One that did that.
At any rate, he survived all of that. Mm-hmm. And my first experience with saying goodbye to an animal friend was with Scamp. Mm-hmm. Now, when he passed, I had already started working my first job. Because, you know, my passion has been animals from the moment I popped out. I've known it from day one, and that's been my whole focus. And so when I was 15 and could get a work permit, I was down the street to the local vet. Would give me a job. He hired me right away. And I worked in veterinary medicine for almost the next 20 years. So anyway, I had started that first job at the vet, but I would say, you know, I was between 15 and 16 when this went down. And Scampi had... You know, he was old, and I can't remember how old he was, but his health was deteriorating. I remember he started to bloat up in his belly, and I remember us taking him to the veterinarian that I was working for.
Did he have something wrong with his backside, too?
His rear end?
Yeah.
No, not that I recall.
Are you sure?
His tail,
kind of that area, right above his tail?
Don't remember. Okay. Don't remember. At any rate... what I remember is his big belly, but anyway, we had to leave him at the vet for the doctor to run some tests and all of that. And I'll tell you folks, this experience has shaped every single goodbye I have ever had with an animal friend since. It's not a story I'm proud of. But, you know, I'm thinking right now, you know, it served me well, so I'm sharing it with you. I remember the day that the vet called and told my mother was on the phone. I was sitting right there, and he was explaining to my mom that Scampi was full of cancer and there was no hope and that he needed to be put to sleep. As soon as she started talking about that, I left the room. And so my mom hung up the phone and came to find me, and we had that, you know, kind of heart to heart, and that it was time to let Scampi go. And I remember her asking me if I wanted to go and be with him. Mm-hmm. And then I was asking, well, you better call the vet, you know, call the doctor back and tell him. I couldn't make the phone call even to tell the vet to do it. Mm. I couldn't go. And so I bailed. Mm. And I just told my mother to call him and tell him to do it because I couldn't handle it.
Mm. Well, you were young, Martha.
I know, but my Scampi left by himself.
I
wasn't there. And I'll tell you, folks, that is the reason why the most important part of saying goodbye to an animal friend for me, may not be for you, but for me, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be with them. I want to thank them for the unconditional love that they have given me their whole life. And I want to be with them and help them make their transition.
I'm right there with you. I couldn't be there for Jess. And I had just found out about my mom's cancer. And they had given her about 6 months to live.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go in. I just couldn't. I couldn't lose him and knowing that I was going to lose her the same year. And my best friend went in with him, who he loved.
At least you sent your best friend.
I did.
Didn't send anybody.
No, I did. But, I regret that I wasn't there, you know.
Now, my Scampi, does he forgive me?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
He loved to snuggle you.
Yeah.
To snuggle you. And he liked to lick your lips. I don't know what that lick your lips.
I don't remember. Yeah. You know, it was
lick
so
your
long
lips.
Ago.
He was
but
a
he
little
was a good dog.
Yeah, he was a really good dog. He could be a little snotty if he wanted to be.
Well, you know what's so funny? Because we take him to the groomer, and he'd get a town and country haircut.
Uh-huh.
That was the bob on the head and the bobs. But he loved it. We'd get home. And we'd open the car. Remember, there's no leash laws.
Yeah.
He would jump out of that car, you know, and he had bows in his hair
he
and everything.
He thought he was
handsome. And he thought he was so cool. He would run around the neighborhood to everybody's house and say, look at me. I had my hair done. He was so proud of himself after he got his hair done. You know, oh, too cute. But anyway, so from that point on, I have never made that mistake again. I will always be with my animal friends. And in fact, that I speak to them now. My animals know if it's your time to go, if it's okay with you, please let me be with you. And that has always been the case. They have always waited for me. And like that was big with Dan, my horse. Well, you know, because he was almost 34.
Oh, yeah.
But he and I had lots of heart-to-hearts when he was that old. It was like, honey, when if it's your time to go, give me enough notice to be able to get here so I can be with you. Yeah. And be sure and time it that I can make the drive and all. And he did. He did. I got to be with him. Now, the second experience that I had that taught me something was not too long after Scampi. And at the same time, my first cat... Well, my first cats were Albert and Alice and went outside to tinkle. Oh, that was Albert and Alice went outside. Oh, geez. I was really little then. But they just kind of, Albert disappeared in the neighborhood. And when we moved, Alice didn't make the move and lived with a neighbor. So I didn't have to, goodbyes there. But then my first cat, when we were in the house that I spent most of my life as a child and teenager in, was a little black and white waif named Muffin. And he was with me. Got when I was very young, and he stayed with me up until my later teenage years as well. And he was one of those, he was a heart cat. He was my first really heart cat. He slept in my arms every night, and I was working for the same vet. When he got old, got sick, to the vet, lots of tests, didn't know quite what was wrong with him, because the tests, you know, weren't definitive at that point. But he wouldn't eat. He was losing weight, and it was really bad. And he had to stay in the hospital, and he was there for a while. I loved that cat so much. I did not want him to go. I did not want him to leave. And, you know, the vet said, well, if he doesn't eat something, we have to put him down. So I went over to the hospital, and I brought special stuff. And... I think I remember one of his favorite things was an egg. So I remember breaking an egg and all of that and asking him to please eat because that's what would keep him alive. And he ate for me. And so the vet said, all right, we'll give him another day. He died that night at the hospital. And so once again, I wasn't there. And then the lesson came. The vet did a post-mortem to find out, you know, what the problem was. Well, he also was full of cancer. And what the vet shared with me after that was, he said it was the most unbelievable thing he had ever seen. He could not believe that the cat ate for me every time I asked him to eat because he had so riddled with cancer, he had no stomach left. So... okay, this is where I learned, man, you got to talk to the animals. You have to have their well-being in mind too, because they'll give it all for us.
Oh,
and
I
that know. I loved him so much. I didn't want him to go. I asked him to eat. He ate. He didn't even have a stomach for it to go into.
Mm-hmm.
So they will hold on for us, and they will stay just because we can't bear to let them go.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to people a lot, Martha, that have, you know, their animal is 20 years old, and they've been giving it shots to keep it alive for the last 3 years. And do you think it's time? I think it was time 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And that's, I think, one of the biggest issues these days.
Yes.
Is animals holding on solely for their humans, mm-hmm. and us humans wanting them to, and doing everything we can to keep them here.
I think a lot of it also is, you know, I mean, veterinary medicine too. You have to realize that, you know, there are good vets and there are vets that just want you to spend money with them. So, you know, and you have to realize that, and unfortunately, they have to, you know, pay their bills too, and how they make their money is on you and your dog or your animal. And so I think that in some instances, well, yeah, but the vet says I could do this and this and this. Well, yeah, you could, but is it a good option? So,
yep.
I mean, I'm not saying, I know that I have a great vet and I love him a lot, but he also suggested I take my cat to the eye doctor. So, I mean... I kind of looked at him and said, he's 16. You know, he's 16 and he can barely get around. And I'm just not sure that that's, in this, you know, at this point, I'm just not sure that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And so that's why we, you know, if you're in your heart, you can make those decisions.
You have to make those decisions. So,
And get the help you need if you need to make those decisions. So, you know, so those first two of my most beloved heart animals, mm-hmm. Scampi the poodle and Muffin my kitty, those two experiences really shaped the way I handled it from that point on. And I can tell you, after Muffin, never lost an animal that I wasn't there with. Now, outside of some of the other cats that I grew up with that ended up staying with my mom and dad, and that I wasn't around when they went. But
so Martha, I have to tell you about my first one. I got him when I was 5, and I had him until I went to college, and I was about, I think I was about 21.
Mm-hmm. Was number one?
His mother was a blonde Cocker Spaniel, and God knows what daddy was.
Oh, okay. So Cocker mix.
Cocker mix. He looked like a little Border Collie.
Oh.
But he wasn't, he was probably only about 45 pounds. Okay. He wasn't very big. Black and white. And his name was Boots, because he had the big, high, white boots. And he was everyone in the name. It was back in the day when you didn't know leash laws. And, you know, my dad, we never neutered him. And so he was all, and there was little black and white dogs everywhere in the neighborhood that he had fathered.
No, I don't believe Scampi was neutered either.
I know.
He ran around Laurelhurst.
Yeah. And he was just the greatest guy in the whole world. You could tell him, go get in the red truck, and he'd go get in the red truck. I mean, he was amazing. He climbed in my, used to love to go up down the slide and climb in my treehouse. I mean, he was my constant companion.
Yeah, he was your best bud.
He was my best bud. I mean, without him, I don't know how to admit it through my childhood. Mm. But he was also my dad's best bud. Mm. And I went to college, and I had been away for college, and he got sick. And my dad was raised in Oklahoma, and back in the day where you took care of your own animals when something happened.
Oh.
And he, I know, not a good. And so he ended up, when he was so sick, he ended up taking him out and putting him down himself.
Like out to the back 40 and shoot him or something?
Mm-hmm. And I remember calling, my mom sent me a card, and all it said is that Bootsy passed away. And that's all it said in the card.
Oh.
And I remember calling, and I
Were you intuitive back there? Did you
not
know,
enough
you
to know?
So you didn't.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And I remember calling home, and my mom couldn't barely talk to me. And I said I want to talk to my dad, and she said he can't talk. He had stayed home for a week and would not get out of bed and sobbed. And sobbed and sobbed.
Oh.
And he said, I remember talking to him probably a year later. He said, I'll never do that again. It was the hardest thing that he'd ever done in his whole life. And he said, I just thought that was what I was supposed to do. That was the way I was raised. And I just thought I was going to do it that for him. And he goes, I could never do it again. Oh. So that's what shaped me. I just thought, you know, I could never do that. Not like that. I want them to go peacefully, not in a way that they're afraid of me.
I did one of my stories, and it's an Annie Golden story. Only she wasn't Annie Golden; she was Annie Odie, and I did euthanize one of my own animals, and it was Annie. So that story is coming up. So we're just getting into our own personal stories. If I had to pick one passing that kind of wraps it up into perfection, that's my next story. Get your Kleenex out.
No.
All right. Let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We'll come back and do a quick current events, and then we'll get back to our end-of-life issues with our animal friends. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form and a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food. Add in the missing link. A little cool water to mix it up. And voila, you've added everything that's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients in the fiber. The missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems with cats, eliminates hairball problems. Excessive shedding problems with dogs, hairball problems with cats. And there is, I'm sorry, all I can hear is plastic bags crumbling on either. All right, you both put them down. Thank you. Oh, my. Gary, you should be controlling them. Anyway, there's Missing Link for dogs and cats and horses and birds, and there's Missing Link Plus with glucosamine. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. Call them at 800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Passato's Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates cats, dogs, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Trudy is a sweet 7-year-old lab mix. She has an expressive silver face with a soft, thick black coat. She loves being cuddled and will lay her head on your lap gently, asking for more love. Trudy is a real sweetheart, but prefers humans over four-legged furry friends. Please consider adopting one of Passato's Safe Haven's rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PassatoSafeHaven.org or call 360-793-9393.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage, celebrating their 10th anniversary. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and great anniversary deals.
The Spirit Weight. A tribute, a treasure, a timeless reminder of a beloved pet or person no longer with us. Spirit Weights are stunning, egg-shaped art glass memorials, hand-blown and signed by Mark Boutte in his Camino Island glass studio. Spirit Weights are beautifully crafted with hollow centers to hold a small amount of cremation ashes, sealed forever in a timeless glass memorial. Go to spiritweight.com to read about Spirit, the inspiration, see design options, and get a Spirit Weight order form. The Spirit Weight, a unique, distinctive, and beautiful blown glass memorial.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
1150kknw.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk. 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and say thank you for spending part of your Mother's Day morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, except for today. We're out at 1145. Right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Kim Miller, Medium and Animal Intuitive, is here. We are not taking phone calls today. We are addressing end-of-life issues with our animal friends, and we'll get back to that after a little break here. We're going to lighten it up for a little bit and talk Woo-hoo. Current events. Oh, was that your little sound effect? Mm-hmm. That was cool. Mm-hmm. All right.
It wasn't a plastic bag.
That's true. Well, yeah. I guess we have put all of those down for the moment, which is nice. All right, we have got on the current events schedule, Let's see. Next Saturday, May 7th, is the May public tour of Posadas Safe Haven in Sultan. And you need to register ahead of time so they can tell you how to get there.
That was yesterday.
Oh. Now, why did I think it was Sunday?
I don't know.
Well, that shows you how on top. Okay. See, I was thinking end-of-life issues, not current events.
I'm sorry. I saw Scotty going over there. No,
never hope
no,
you all had fun at the May tour of Posada Safe Haven.
There you go.
However, now you can mark your calendars for Posada's annual Bark at the Park. It will be at Marymore Park on July 31st in Redmond. There'll be more details to follow, but mark your calendars. Just got wind of the annual Seattle Animal Shelters. It's actually their 12th annual furry 5K run and walk for the animals, and that will be on Sunday, June 12th. It's Seward Park, www.furry5k.com if you want more information. Now, if you want to help the spirit weight, Mark Boutte, there is a Camino Arts Association 2011 studio tour. It went on this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think it's too late to join them today. But next Saturday and Sunday, they will be doing the same studio tours on Camino Island. And Mark's studio is included in these tours. So if you'd like to be able to see the Spirit Waits in person and see his studio and meet Mark, this would be a great opportunity to do so. It's next Saturday and Sunday. You can get more information at www.caminoarts.org or email caminoarts@gmail.com. And I'm just going to remind you, I mentioned it in the first hour, if you've heard us talking about these incredible spirit weights, which Mark hand blows, they're kind of egg-shaped on a little stand, and they're clear or cobalt blue or scarlet red in the middle, and they're just gorgeous. And some of your animal friends' ashes or human ashes go into this little spirit weight, and it's a wonderful permanent memorial and tribute to a departed loved one. But Mark's in trouble financially, facing foreclosure, and if they foreclose, that includes the studio and everything. So if you've been thinking about getting a spirit weight, do it now. www.spiritweight.com. There's a link on the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, on the homepage, or you can call Mark at 360-387-2162 to order your spirit weight. Let us see here. Silent auction and dinner to benefit Rabbit Meadows is June 4th at the Rusty Pelican Cafe in Seattle. More to love chubby cat discounts continue at the Humane Society, $1 off a pound on cats, adult cats over a year through the end of May. You can join me. I bet you can join Kim, too. Are you going to be at the New Spirit Journal birthday party on June?
Yes, I will.
June 4th, mm-hmm. from 11 to 3 at East West Bookshop in Seattle.
Yes.
You get to meet Kristen Ronda. There's going to be a celebration, an intentions ceremony, blessing that Rima and Padma from the Ananda Temple are going to do with Kristen Ronda. And it's going to be open mic and Reiki cupcakes. Mm-hmm. And we'll all be there. I'll be there. Kim will be there.
I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. You can meet both of us. Woohoo. Yeah. Two hits and one. Mark your calendars for the annual Meows, Fine Line and Felines will be Saturday, July 16th. And then there's the ever-famous 9th annual Puppy Putt fundraiser for Guide Dogs of America, June 18th. It's a motorcycle poker run, www.puppyputt.com. And that one's over. Gosh, I just didn't get a lot of things deleted. I should have Beat the Heat with Homeward Pet Adoption Center, female cat spayed for $25 through the end of the month. And Perfect Pals Average Joe Cat Show is Saturday, May 14th. That's next weekend at the Shoreline Center. Oh, and the first ever fundraiser for Missing Pet Partnership is next Saturday, May 14th, 5 p.m. It's the Wine Sleuth Interactive Pet Detective Mystery and Wine Tasting. I don't know if they have tickets left, but you could check them out, www.winesleuth, and that's W-H-I-N-E, sleuth.org. All right, that wraps up current events, except just briefly, Kim, you are sometimes at Friends Philosophy and Tea.
Yes.
And you do have some dates coming up there.
I do. I was supposed to be there today. We decided not to do it since it was Mother's Day and just thought people might be busy. So the next time I will be there will be in June, and it should be the 12th of June.
All right. Now this is exciting, folks. Listen with your ears, because something really incredible is happening. You have teamed up
with Krista Gibson.
One of my other best friends.
Yes.
Krista Gibson, mm-hmm. who is the editor-publisher of New Spirit Journal.
That's correct.
Incredible. Incredible woman.
Yes, she is.
We love Krista.
She's my mentor.
She's fabulous.
Yeah,
isn't she?
Absolutely. Yeah. And
you guys, you've teamed up. You're going to do a class together. What's this all about?
So.